The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Scott Mabry, Chief Executive Officer of PCF Group. That's PCF ticker. Scott, thanks for joining me.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, nice to get you on. I know, like I said, you've released your preliminary results for the year ended the 30th of September today, and we'll dig into that a bit and have a look at what's happening and going forward, what your hopes are. Before we do that, Scott, for people not familiar with PCF Group, could you just give us a brief summary as to what you're all about, please?
Certainly. PCF Group is the parent company of PCF Bank, which is a small specialist bank. We've been operating as a bank for just over 3 years now. We were mobilized. We're one of the new entrant banks in the marketplace, and we mobilized in 2017. Our main lending markets are the consumer motor market, SME asset finance market. We're a specialist in broadcast and media equipment, and we're also in the property bridging market.
Excellent stuff. Okay, like I said, preliminary results for the year ended the 30th of September today. Give us some of the main highlights, if you could, Scott.
Yeah, I think like most of the results you'll see coming out over the course of the banking markets reporting period, it's about supporting your staff and supporting your customers in a very difficult year. And it's about proving that you've got a resilient business model that is going to perform throughout this crisis, but also going to leave you in a good position at the end of the crisis to emerge as strong as going into it. And I think our results today highlight all of those things. We spent a lot of time at the beginning of the pandemic, of course, making sure customers were looked after, and that could have meant lending more money to them if they were open for business. But in a lot of cases, it was helping them with financial hardship, which, of course, everyone's familiar now with the term forbearance, and that was very prevalent in the early days. So supporting customers and also supporting staff, you know, operationally to start with, to make sure that they could all operate. But as this crisis has gone on, I think we're all learning that there's additional challenges to the communications around staff and staff engagement and staff well-being. Financially, the highlights are we've grown. The loan book has grown in the year, which I think you'll find will be fairly unique amongst banking entrants. We've remained profitable with an underlying PBT of $3.9 million. That's half of what we made the previous year. But when you look at an impairment charge up to $7.8 million from $2.2 million last time, you can see where most of that profitability has gone. So it's been a strong performance. We've continued to lend into the marketplace. We're lending at the moment. It's just about prudence and caution until we see some certainty on the future.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned there the resilience is, you know, you must be very pleased with that. But, you know, what steps now did you put in place, you know, to deal with the consequences of the pandemic, Scott?
Well, initially, it's a lot of it's around making sure your business can operate as best as possible. So, you know, there's a lot of IT connectivity and communications and customer contact required to make sure that you're operating. We had, within a couple of days, we had all our staff working from home, and other than one or two staff to come in and do things that you couldn't do remotely, like check for any post coming through the door, we're effectively all at home. And there was no interruption to business. We also, the other key thing initially was some staff resource reallocation. It's about being agile with your staff resource. Forbearance is a thing that arrived almost overnight in some parts of our loan book. And of course, you're not resourced up for that on day one, but we have some very experienced staff here. We're a business that operated as a finance company before we're a bank. A lot of people that have been with us in excess of 10 years, and we're able to mobilize staff right across the organization to put the resource where it was required. So when people talk about keeping up customer service, we really did. We didn't have to put warnings up on our website about delays or interruptions to our service. We didn't have to put recorded messages on our phone lines. We really did operate business as usual. And then I guess the third main change that we had to put in place is adjust our risk appetite towards lending. So looking at our credit risk appetite and saying, yes, we think it's still appropriate to lend, but we tightened that credit risk appetite to increasingly prime credits, which I think is prudent in this market.
Yeah. And looking back at it, when the lockdown happened, there was a lot of fear and people didn't understand what was going on. And of course, sometimes the worry about the unknown is worse than the actual unknown. And looking at the sort of forbearance figures there, it seems that your borrowers have fared better than they feared they would at the start of the lockdown. Is that sort of a fair summation, Scott?
Certainly. And different parts of our portfolio in different ways. You know, being a diversified business across the four business lines that I spoke about earlier has its strengths. If you want to see a microcosm of, you know, how a business can be affected by lockdown, our broadcast and media subsidiary was almost affected overnight. TV, film, live events basically closed their doors overnight, and that had a huge effect on that business. And our customers in that sector really did need some forbearance help. So forbearance was high in that area, also high in the SME area as well for businesses, and less so in the consumer area. But we are sort of conscious that there could be a bit of a tail in the consumer area if unemployment reaches the sort of heights that's being forecast. So it affected different parts of our business differently, but you're absolutely right. People were very cautious, and they heard about forbearance, and it was well advertised, and of course the regulator put out rules around forbearance, and a lot of people took it for really just to be cautious and just to plan ahead. And what we found is after the initial 3 months, a lot of people started returning to payment because the protection they needed was really a precaution rather than a necessity. And then added to that, of course, governments had its own support schemes which have been in place. So a number of businesses have been able to draw on the CBILS and BBLS bounce back loans. And that's also helped business. And of course, furloughing has helped the consumer as well. So all of those things meant, as we stand at the moment, people haven't needed quite as much help, and they've returned to payment, as you can see by our numbers.
Yeah. And you mentioned there that lots of different businesses get affected differently. Like you mentioned, Azul, you know, is one of the bigger players in the broadcasting and events leasing space, which you purchased last year. That must have been quite difficult for them. And what's it like for them now? Is it starting to turn around, getting better for them or not?
It is starting to turn around. We're starting to see, I think it's going to have a couple of different speeds, to tell you the truth. The real, the run-of-the-mill TV miniseries type, documentary type business, I don't think we'll see that really getting back to any huge levels of activity until next spring. Of course, the better weather and the longer daylight hours are absolutely key for that sort of business, for filming and TV. Also, a lot of live events happen in summer as well. But what we have seen is a recovery in what I'd call the on-demand streaming activities. So people like Disney Plus, who have taken a 10-year lease of Pinewood, Netflix, who have taken a 3-year lease of Shepperton, and also Amazon Prime. There's a huge demand for content for those parties. It's a subscriber service, as you know, so subscribers aren't going to pay for repeats, nor are advertisers going to pay for repeats. So we've seen those bigger on-demand people come back quite strongly, and a number of deals been happening over the last month or two, and that should bode well ahead of the spring recovery more generally.
Let's be honest, everyone's looking forward to 2021. The vaccine is being rolled out, everyone's talking about that, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and what's your thoughts on 2021 for PCF then, Scott?
Well, yeah, my aim is to really make sure we emerge from this strongly. We went in strongly. We had a strong balance sheet. We knew our markets. We've been around as a finance company before we were a bank. So, you know, I think collecting out your loan book and operating in these difficult circumstances will be new for a number of the newer players. It's not for us. So if we can emerge strongly from this, I think there will be really good opportunities for a small and ambitious bank. I think there'll be less competitors in the marketplace. I think there'll be opportunities for portfolio acquisitions, and I also think there'll be opportunities for M&A. And they could either be in the spaces we operate in at the moment, or they might offer a new diversification for us as well. All of those, I think, will be really exciting. It's really about how quickly we actually recover and have some visibility on the future. We'll then adjust our credit appetite and we'll open our eyes to those opportunities in the marketplace. And I think from the middle of 21, let's hope, as you say, things pan out with the vaccine. From the middle of 21, I think we can start to be on the front foot and start to be more ambitious in our growth plans again.
Excellent stuff. Okay, Scott, every day in the podcast, I highlight the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets. And to get on that list, of course, several people have to hit that follow button on your page. So if people are liking the sound of what you're doing here and hopefully the recovery in 2021, but they're not following the story yet, give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, please do. I feel like I'm talking to the judges on something like The Voice. Or I guess the reasons why you should really follow PCF Bank is we're small and ambitious. Financials haven't had a very good time of it over the last few years, so there's a historic discount in there. And, of course, small caps within financials have been even harder hit. The second thing is the resilience. The profits we've shown today, our experience in the marketplace, our experience through several credit cycles and our ability to emerge from this downturn in a strong position, I think should give people a nice warm feeling and some comfort that we've got a proven and sustainable business model for the future. And I would also say, as a UK business, we're a good leverage bet against a UK recovery. UK shares themselves haven't seen the sort of recoveries you've seen in the US. I think the UK market has a number of things hanging over it, not just COVID, but also Brexit and our relationship with Europe. And should all of those things pan out, as we all hope, I think the UK economy is well placed to recover and the markets accordingly and the operators within it.
Excellent stuff, Scott. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you for your time.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.